p.m., Freeform Music at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10 p.m.
Man, I was going to get so fired up with our intro music today. I had it, and
it was right there.
But this is a bad sign, though, right? That we decided that I wanted to close with some music. I'm not sure that we got it.
That's okay. We'll be okay. That's what you get about live radio.
Yeah.
We've been so spoiled during COVID, being able to pre-record and have it edited by Parker and have everything sound so great. And here we are live.
But you know,
things happen.
But you killed the intro. That was like a great intro. And I was thinking, you know what? When we play the Moulin Rouge cut, the show must go on.
Right.
I'm like going to maybe stand up and I'm going to like be so.
Bring tears to your eyes.
Energy.
Well, I know. No.
Yeah. I mean, because we're talking about live theater now and I wanted to like really feel it and stuff.
Right.
And now I'm just looking at my laptop.
Sadly.
Wondering what went wrong, and I still don't know.
But the show is going on.
The show, it must go on.
Right.
They say.
Right. So and it's exciting.
It's exciting, and not just. And today we're not just going to be talking about live theater, but we're going to be seeing live theater. How about that?
We are. It's exciting. It's going to be outside. We're doing the CUTC.
This is the kitchen where the new boyfriend will unofficially become family.
An ad? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, that segment was.
brought to you
by Verbo.
Right. We're going to go to CUTC's Driveway Cabaret. It took me a second. I couldn't remember what it was called. Tonight at the Temple. It's going to be so much fun. It's hot out there. We're supposed to bring our own water.
Oh, I thought it was just chairs.
No, we're supposed to bring our own water too.
Okay.
So, you guys can't come unless you've already signed up. It's like...
Here we go. Come on. You know, maybe this is what our guest is thinking at this point. We had him come all the way in from Bloomington, and we're here just talking about our
technology issues. And he's like, oh my goodness, they don't know what they're doing.
But did we finish talking about Driveway Cabaret, or was I carried away with my computer at that point?
We
don't know what we're going to see. We don't know what performers.
Well,
it's all
teens.
It's teens, right?
We know who the performers are. Yeah.
Okay.
We got a list of them, but maybe you didn't read it.
I like to go in cold to this
kind
of thing.
Yeah. So. No, it's going to be great.
All right.
Although it's going to be hot.
And so I think we'll do like a mini review of it on I See You at the Show Facebook page and talk about, we'll find out whether there's still opportunities for people in the community to get a performance of this.
Right.
Because I think there were maybe 9 different dates where for a certain reasonable amount of money, you can have this performance come to you.
Right, and you can have 25 people, I think.
25 people, right.
Yeah.
And so it looks like, you know, we've got seats and
right. Thank you, Jackie Lowenstein.
Yes, thank you. So let's turn to what's actually happening and what we're excited about. We promoted it online.
Right.
And we've been talking about Heartland Theater Company a lot this year, in part because I got to finally do some acting again in...
Oh, no, you can't remember.
I can't remember the name of it.
No.
What was the name of that radio play I was in?
Don't do this to me.
God, and all the Harlan people are watching.
Yeah, listening. They're listening.
No, they're watching.
It was so exciting, and I cannot remember the radio show. But we're going to air that sometime soon.
We are.
Here on WFT, yes. 90.1 FM. And so all during COVID, we've been talking about thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. And trying to do things differently. And so today's guest is going to talk to us about Out of the Box, which is a production in Normal, Illinois.
So welcome, Len Childers, to See You at the Show. How are you today?
I am good, thank you.
So Len, what is your role in, or what is your history in theater?
Yeah, so... my history in theater. Well, I am currently a school social worker at Unified Schools, but I started out, my first career was acting. So I went to school, got my degree, went to Seattle for a couple years, went to New York, didn't quite work out for me. ended up here in Bloomington, Illinois. Well, not here, but in Bloomington, Illinois. And, you know, I had to take a little hiatus from theater for a while just because, you know, when it's something you pursue for a long time and mm-hmm. you want to do it for a living and it doesn't work out, there's a little bit of pain there, you know?
Sure, sure.
So I needed to take some time off, and I don't know why, but around the fall of 2017, I believe it was. I know what it was. It was Illinois Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. I saw their productions that summer, and of course, I can't remember what production it was. It was so good that I can't even remember what it was. I try to go every summer, so some of them, the names blend together.
Right.
But I love Shakespeare, and when I saw the two plays that I saw there that summer, there's something in me that just was like, you know what, I want to get back on stage. And so I auditioned for Community Players in Bloomington, and it was for All My Sons, Arthur Miller's All mm-hmm. My Sons, got in that. And since then I've been, you know, acting in probably one or two plays a year, both at Community Players and Heartland. So that's my background theater.
Are you from Bloomington Normal or?
No, I'm originally from, well, I was a military brat growing up, but my dad kind of settled down and retired when we were in Utah. So I pretty much grew up my formative years in Utah.
And you went to school?
I went to undergrad in Utah, and then I went to grad school in Seattle, Washington.
Okay, so that's how you ended up in Seattle.
Yeah.
And so what brought you here?
I was married at the time. The housing market crashed in 2008.
Yes.
My wife at the time wanted to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So she got into ISU, and, you know, we came here, and the rest is history.
And you decided to stay even?
I decided to stay, yep. We split, but it was amicable. And, you know, I had gone back to school to get my MSW, so for social work. So
right.
I just stayed here, and yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I love that story. And I love the Shakespeare Festival. I'm going to try to drag Eric there this summer.
Yeah, I've never been to it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I've always wondered, and I probably should have looked this up at some point, but how do they get their actors for the summer? Because they do two or three shows, and all of the actors are in all the shows. So do you know anything more about how that works?
I don't remember, you know, there's Lord B, Lord C, all those, you know, the size of
right.
equity, you know, company. I do know that they have equity actors. So
right.
they come in, I think, around early, mid-May and start rehearsing. And then they rehearse each show every day for, you know, it's a regular work day. And then I think after, I don't know, three, 4 weeks or something, they get all those shows mounted. And,
right.
So
they aren't typically local actors? Or?
No, not the main actors.
Right.
The main actors are usually typically from either New York or Chicago, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I figured since they're paid and equity, not a whole lot of equity actors around here.
Yeah.
But they do amazing shows.
Yep.
And because it's an outside theater, it kind of lends itself to being safer right now during these times.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we've been following what Heartland's been doing. We know that mm-hmm. they just finished up the series Five Hot Shorts, mm-hmm. which is still available on YouTube, and that featured a lot of Champaign area actors also. The other group that you said in addition to Heartland was the Community Players. Is that right? We've never featured them. We don't know much about them.
Community Players, I think they're doing, I want to say they're, somebody's going to kill me over there if I don't say this right. I want to say their 99th season, but it might be 95th. I might be wrong.
Wow.
But they've been around a long time. We had a season, and In fact, I was going to be, I was going to be the assistant director for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which was supposed to be at the end of the season. The director, you know, said, "Hey, I want you to audition too," and so I auditioned, and he cast me, and so much for the assistant directing.
Right.
But then we ended up trying to do rehearsals online, not knowing when the whole COVID thing was gonna, what was gonna happen. There was so much up in the air. And we continued auditioning, thinking, well, maybe, you know, we can reopen in June or July, which was really crazy thinking at the time.
But yeah, but
back,
we all thought, yeah.
Yeah, right. But that didn't happen. So we had to kind of shut that down. And as a matter of fact, I'm on the play reading committee, and we did talk about, you know, getting some more, plays of color. And so they put Raisin in the Sun on their on their season for this next year.
Nice.
So that's super exciting for them.
Nice.
Right. So yeah, I see it is the 99th season, and it looks like it looks like the season was just announced in the last couple of weeks. There's going to be Raisin in the Sun, Mamma Mia, Elf over Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so
we knew that.
No, Elf. No.
That's, it's a different Elf?
Yeah, because that's what Jerry Strain is also directing. It is for in Danville.
Right, you're right. Okay, I was like, wait, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, so there will be rival Elves.
Wow.
And we're right in between them here in Champaign.
We'll have to see both of them.
Anyway, but this again is just exciting news about, you know, theater companies coming back to life, setting their seasons, and who will be the first in Champaign, I wonder.
We'll see. So out of the box, you're directing this.
Yeah, so the genesis for Out of the Box came out of Connie Blick, who is producing it, we're kind of working together on this. We're both on Heartland's diversity committee, and we were talking as a group about, you know, something we can do to encourage people of color in the community, the many people of color that we have, to share their stories. So it was kind of inspired by the Normal Story Slam, which I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah.
The Normal Story Slam, but we didn't want it to be, you know, okay, sit down on a stool in front of people and tell a story. We wanted it to be a little more theatrical, and, you know, involve other ways of telling your story if you wanted to. So the committee, the rest of the committee, so Connie and I are both people of color, and the rest of the committee is not. And so they were like, hey, what a great idea. You guys should do that. And so we were like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, but we talked about it, and Connie and I have worked together before, and she's great. And we just, one thing led to another, and we thought, yeah, let's try to do this. And so the initial idea was to try to get about seven people, and also to tell our own stories because we're also people of color, and to shoot for anywhere, you know, no more than 10 minutes each, so that we could have a show about 70 minutes. It, you know, we asked some people said, you know, I'm not really comfortable with that right now. Some other people didn't really get back to us. And so we ended up with six people, and we thought, you know, this is fine. We'll figure this out. So that's really where we ended up, and you know, working. The whole idea that what this came from, the Out of the Box, right, was that Connie and I were both biracial, and we talked about the fact that, you know, we're often asked this question, what are you, from by people, right?
Right?
All our lives, we kind of relate to each other in that way. And so that question, what are you, kind of forces you to, you know, almost check a box, right? Or just sum yourself up in one box. So we thought of the census forms, or maybe job applications,
right,
where you say, you know, race, pick one. And Nowadays, you can pick two, but I actually, in the recent past, filled out an online application where I was only allowed to pick one. It was a radio button that would switch. So I could only pick white or black or, you know, other or whatever. So so a lot of times, you know, over the years, we've picked other or, you know, I remember a time when, you know, before 2000, when you, you know, you didn't have the option of picking two boxes or other, you know, you had to pick one box.
Right.
So that was where Out of the Box came from, that, you know, that the idea that we would tell our stories about, you know, how we keep from, you know, fitting into a box, you know, and how we kind of find our identity through all the parts of ourselves.
Right.
So
it sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a really cool, I don't know if you've seen it, Linda, but the way that the, your promotional flyer showing the out of the box with a microphone over the this box of check boxes. And
It's very pretty, powerful. It is
powerful.
Yeah.
And so does this mean the way that you are actually one of the performers?
I am, yeah. So how we worked that, because obviously I didn't want to direct myself. I want to have some perspective on the piece that I do. Connie will be directing my piece, and then I'm directing everybody else's piece. It's worked out well so far. So, you know, we've all kind of written our own pieces, and, you know, I'm spending time helping people to shape their pieces, you know, what's the beginning, what's the middle, what's the end, how do you wrap up, you know, what do we want to say collectively, but also what do you want to say uniquely? So getting both of that. So the idea was to have a through line, and we were talking beforehand about, you said a round table. I had done some listening circles over the last year since, you know, over the summer was very volatile in our country. There was a lot of riots and a lot of racial tension, more racial tension than I've ever experienced in my life. And so we did some listening circles, and in doing that, I thought that would be a good format to use to tell each other our stories, but also to come up with ideas for how we individually want to tell our stories. So we did three of those, and those proved very useful. And it helped me as the director to write down some notes and say, well, you know, you mentioned this in your share. I would love to see that get in there. Or, you know, if they show me what they wrote and a certain thing didn't make it in there, you know, or something new made it in there, I can say, oh, I like that, but can we also get this other thing in there? So that's really what, you know, we've been doing for the last week or two.
When it sounds like it took something that could have felt very individual for the performers and made it a collective sort of an experience. Yeah. This is something where they could have just all done their rehearsing one-on-one and gone from there.
But yeah,
you've got an ensemble kind of.
Exactly. We stole originally the idea, you know, the normal story slam, they usually go with a theme, right? They say, you know, tell a story about this theme, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the themes that I told a story at Normal Story Slam was tell about a time when you were, now I'm forgetting. I think it was tell a story about a time you were surprised, I want to say. So, you know, there is a theme, but so I did ask in the listening circles, everybody was asked to answer one question. And through those responses, we came up with some words that we wanted to be through lines to connect the pieces, because in sharing our stories, there was just a lot of head nodding. There was a lot of relating to each other's, you know, stories and experiences. And I thought it would be a missed opportunity to not find the connection between between our experiences while also celebrating the uniqueness of that.
Yeah. Do you think this is something that you'll continue to do, maybe an annual thing, or
we talked about it in the diversity committee, and you know, I think it depends on how well this goes.
Right.
I hope so, though. I think it would be really great. I think because it hasn't been done before I you know, we had a limited amount of people to do it. It would be lovely to have actually people audition or, you know, so that we can have more to choose from. I also think, you know, dealing with a racial past, especially if you have had some bad experiences, not everybody wants to talk about that.
Sure.
And certainly not everybody wants to share that story on stage or outside on stage, right? And so these some parts of these stories are very intimate portraits of people's own individual lives. Mm-hmm. And from that perspective, you know, my hope is that it's powerful, you know, that it gives just a window into somebody's life, that a person of color's life that you might not have known before, right? But also that, you know, there's a through line, right? This question, what are you? That kept coming up and mm-hmm. kept coming back, even for people who were one nationality, right?
Mm-hmm,
that both their parents were one nationality. They consider themselves one, but they're lighter skinned. So a lot of people think that they're mixed. So there's a through line there, and that "what are you" question is asked, and it, most of the time it's not meant to be invasive,
right.
But it gets very invasive very quickly.
Yeah.
And for all of us, if you've been asked it once, you've been asked it probably a million times. Mm-hmm. Maybe
so
not a
getting
million,
into
literally.
The whole microaggression type mm-hmm. thing
yep.
that you live with. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that white people are hopefully learning to mm-hmm. not do anymore.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Right.
So it's going to be performed outside
mm-hmm.
at 1110 Douglas Street, Normal.
Yep.
On June 25th at 5 p.m.
Yep.
And June 26th as well.
Yep.
Also at 5?
Yep.
Okay. And then there's a rain date just in case.
Yes. Yeah, so if we have rain on any of those dates, rain date is scheduled for that next day, Sunday, June 27th.
Okay.
And it's just going to be on the lawn right across from the main entrance of Heartland Theater.
Do people need to bring their own chairs?
Yeah. It's recommended you bring your own chair, or you could bring a blanket. You can... I believe it's on the Heartland website, but you can register.
Is it suggested that you register?
Yeah, just so we know, you know, how many people are there. We've got a capacity of 125 mm-hmm. That we'd like to stick to, but it'd be good to know. So registration is free. It closes 1 hour before the performance, and the register link is... do you want me to give it to you?
We'll post it on our Facebook
page. Okay, perfect.
Page.
I'll give you the,
hard for people to take links down over the radio, but we will put a link on our Facebook page and remind everybody about it.
And we're talking about out-of-the-box diverse stories happening outside at the Heartland Theater June 25th and 26th at 5 o'clock, and that's in Bloomington.
And Normal.
Yeah.
Right.
In Bloomington Normal.
Right, but it's actually... In Normal, right?
Yep, technically,
right.
Blow no.
Right. I don't get over there enough. I have friends over there, and this will give me a reason to go visit and come check out your show.
One of the things that we've found in Champaign is even when there is a show that has BIPOC talent in it, mm-hmm. BIPOC actors, that getting people out to come to the shows is one of the big steps mm-hmm. and building up a community interest, and then young people interested in theater and just aware of what's there.
Sure.
Has there been any effort to kind of raise awareness mm-hmm. of your show in the, like, among people of color in the community?
That's a good question. I think we're still trying to find ways to do that. We have two committees going on that I'm part of, the Diversity Committee, but also the New Audience Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those new audiences that we've been focusing on is the BIPOC community, and really trying to figure out how, not only how do we get people of color to come to more of the shows, but how do we get them to come to more auditions to throw their directing talents in the pool, and that starts also with doing plays that also have Black characters, mm-hmm. or there are some classic plays that we could do that you can do some blind casting, right? We're certainly discussing how do we do that as the committee, that is the big thing, and it's just one of those things I think also that it doesn't happen overnight,
right.
And it's one of those things I think that once you make the choice to try to raise that awareness and raise the amount of inclusion that you do, that you stick with it, because there are going to be drawbacks. There are people of color in our community that might not, believe or trust that this is a long-term thing.
Sure.
And also the flip side, people like to see themselves mirrored, mm-hmm. and that's the same for theater, I think. So, developing an audience of people of color will also depend on, I think, developing more characters that we include of color and plays of color by playwrights of color.
Right.
So that people of color in our community are seeing mirrors of themselves, mm-hmm. and of their story. And I think Raisin in the Sun is a great example of that. But
there's so many more contemporary shows that people can do too. I think I like Raisin in the Sun, of course, but I feel like that's like the go-to, we'll just stick this in our,
So
I know we've been spending a lot of time during COVID reading plays of, mm-hmm. BIPOC playwrights and
right.
things like that. And there's just so much more out there than you ever see done. Yeah.
But remember, though, we were going to try to bring a play forward, and we talked to people of color that we know, and they say, that's just the same old sad story.
Right.
You need, but then no story happened. Because we didn't bring a story forward, then no story happened when we were ready to try to bring a story out. So
right.
So you can't try to be perfect. You need to try to take steps. And
yeah.
And I think just the fact that Heartland even has two committees by those names is
right.
something. Like, mm-hmm. was there a diversity committee before 2020?
I don't know, because I'm new to the committee.
I see.
Right now
it sounds like the sort of thing that would have been invented in maybe 14 months ago.
Right.
So around the time George Floyd happened.
Right, yeah. And that's one of the things that we struggled with. I'm on the board of the Station Theater here in mm-hmm. Champaign-Urbana, and that's one of the things that we discussed as board members. It's like, should mm-hmm. we start a committee? And we decided, because most of the board at the time were comprised of white people, that we needed to all be doing it instead of like farming it out to a committee. Mm-hmm. That's just the way we dealt with it. And I thought that was, it worked really well for us, because then it didn't put it all on a few select people and the people of color that were on the board. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is everybody's job. We're all supposed to be building bridges and mm-hmm.
And some old white guys just decided to get out of the room.
Right. And they, so Eric,
unfortunately, my
down.
Seat is now taken by people who have a much more diverse perspective on.
We only have one white guy on. Well, sort of. I mean, depending on how you look at it, on the board now it's mainly women and probably more people of color than we've ever had on the board at the station before. So, but we're constantly trying to build these. Putting ourselves out there and bringing people in, mm-hmm. and also being quiet.
And so when I saw I'm on the Heartland Theater Company mailing list now, because I was in It Happened One Night.
Heartland.
It was a wonderful show, even my 26 seconds in particular. But anyway, congratulations to Heartland for this initiative, for bringing it forward. Len, it's great to meet you and to hear more about this.
And we look forward to seeing you again.
Absolutely.
Anytime you're in something or directing, let us know.
I'd love to
have you back.
And over the next 2 weeks, we'll be promoting this and doing everything we can to do our part. So thanks for joining. See you at the show. Surfability Freakout coming your way now.
This is WFT.
You are listening to WEFT Champagne.
Well, good evening. This isn't the Surfer Billy, sir. Are we going to get that corrected real soon? This is your girl, Lady Lynn.